I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Hello.
Jay Cross.
Hi, Mark.
And Joe Branton.
Hello.
How's everyone good?
Solid start by a professional
podcaster. I was interviewed this week by another podcast about podcasting.
Yeah. What was it?
The Tone Mob podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, you know, it's not about podcasting, but... it's a podcast about guitars and stuff, and we talked about podcasts about guitars.
I didn't know that.
That's nice.
Mega meta, really. It was
cool. It sounds like some sort of weird inception of podcasts.
Yeah, it was like it was super nerdy talking about...
It was a podcast within a podcast.
Yeah, it was a podcast about why... It was me from a podcast on a podcast talking about why podcasts work.
Did they work?
Yeah, podcasts are great.
Right.
They're the best.
Wonderful.
The absolute best.
You do know what this is, right?
What?
You know why we're here?
Yes, I come here to drink.
Yeah, well, yeah, good. I mean, that's evident.
Are you drinking? Is that Stella?
Yes, it's a Stella.
I've gone into Stella recently.
Yes, there's nothing wrong with Stella.
It's great.
This Belgian. Have you seen their adverts? Their adverts are quality.
Unbelievable.
I like their beer.
Perfectly reasonable lager.
Anyway, thanks for joining us if you're listening to the podcast. Thanks for if you're joining us live on ampli.fi/guitar nerds, which is the live streaming video component of this whole shebang, or if you're watching on the catch up on YouTube or on the Amplify site. If you are watching live, feel free to join us. Jay Cross is going to be in the chat the whole time.
I am. I can't see anything right now because I'm cleaning my glasses.
So he's going to be on there answering your questions. If you've got anything, feel free. Feel free.
Wow.
This is terrible.
I can see why you were interviewed for being on a podcast.
I know.
You're excellent at talking.
I'm trying to be very pro.
Okay.
I've not had much sleep. Give me some comfort.
You do look very tired.
Yeah, I'm a bit tired.
And yellow.
I'm a bit tired.
You look yellow.
Do I? Thanks.
And beardy.
Yeah, I'm very beardy. Very beardy. So, do send in your questions and stuff via the chat. We're also going to be taking questions from the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. But first up, what's everyone been up to? Matt, you've got something big to tell us, so we'll come to you last. Jay Cross, how was your week?
My week's been okay. I went... Oh, thanks, Joe. Thanks for the coaster.
That's all right, now.
I went on a stag do this weekend... with Matty, and it was the stag do for Reese from Bigfoot Engineering, and it was really good. And
nice.
It was actually a lot more civil. Whenever you hear the word stag do, it's always like, oh god,
bad times.
Yeah, I bet it was. It's actually really, really nice and really civilized. We went to Arundel, which is like one of the most beautiful places I've ever been.
Yeah.
And it's only just down the road from where we live.
And there are like two pubs in Arundel.
Well, no, we went to, I think, four. so no, it was lovely. Really, really lovely. Really old town. It's got a cathedral and a castle, which I believe were built by the Normans right after they invaded in 1066. So, you know,
History cast.
Thanks very much to our Norman leaders. They're still in charge, right?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
mate, so, we all know the Illuminati's in charge.
Well, absolutely. So, but yeah, really, really lovely. And I spoke a little bit to Reese about sort of what he's got going on. And I called him out on that you remember ages ago we talked about how he was going to be doing a optical trim?
Yes.
And he's just like, oh yeah, it's just really hard. So I think it is coming, but it's like a little way off at the moment. But one thing that I did find out that I didn't realise he did, so obviously, you know, he's not very good at marketing it because A, I really love his pedals. B, I'm his exact target market. And B, sorry, I've done B. Yeah. C, we're really good mates.
BB.
You can order, like, custom design pedals from him.
What?
So, like, you can...
He does custom visuals.
Yeah, you can be like, oh, look, I really like King Fuzz, but yellow, who do you think I am? Bart Simpson? I need this to be in shell pink. And he'll be like, yeah, okay, that's right, I'll do that for you. He like does like custom
you can get
stuff.
Shell pink
you
pink
can get
fuzz.
You can get pedals, any of his pedals, in whatever color you want.
He will also I saw on the Facebook page he will add extra switches and other things if you want them. So he's built one of the Octo Fuzzes, the
Octopus Prime,
but it was in a square box rather than the octagonal box.
Okay. Also just the stand. Oh yeah, that's the Octopus Prime.
Yeah,
that's what he said.
But he built it with two foot switches.
Yeah.
Right, really?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So what, the fuzz and the octave were separate signals?
Exactly.
Awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I think you can basically say, like, I really like your pedals, but can you do this to my specifications, basically? So,
right. Yeah.
Yeah, super cool, you know. So, he's getting married. So,
yeah, that's what I did. And, you know, now that I've spoken on the podcast about him, I don't have to buy him a wedding gift because that's what this is.
Free advertising.
No, I'm kidding. No, that wasn't what it was at all. But no, that's what I got up to. It was really nice. And I still... I've had a couple of people asking me what's going on with my offset telly, the Telemaster that I ordered.
What's going on with that?
Well, I haven't picked it up yet because... I think a few people were like, oh God, is it really bad? And he's just not talking about it because he's embarrassed. That isn't the case at all. I haven't picked it up yet simply because of the stuff that happened last week that we spoke about. I still haven't had the insurance money come in, so I can't afford to pick it up just yet.
Right.
But the shop where I'm buying it from have been incredibly understanding and have been cool with me holding back for a couple of weeks. So that will happen soon. So but I've been playing my telly. And I'm like, oh, maybe I don't want to sell it. But we'll see. We'll figure
it
out.
You can't have the telly and the offset telly. That's pointless.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Then, no. You know what telly... They're not... They're rounded.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true. Don't keep both of them. Don't keep the American special and have an American standard, effectively.
No. I will sell the telly. It's time to move it on. I've had it for like... You shouldn't have stuff for that long. Just move it on.
I've had my bass for nearly 14 years.
Oh, that's nearly as old as me.
That is a long time to have a rubbish bass.
Joe Branton,
yes.
I'm going to ignore what you just said and ask you how your week was. You said to me earlier that you have been doing so much gigging and boozing that you basically weren't feeling very well.
Yes.
Why do it to yourself? Why not just become like me and Jay and play guitar at home in your pyjamas?
That is an option, yes. That's looking more and more like a very viable option.
I'm wearing my slippers right now.
Yeah, I know. They're good.
Thanks.
So, where have you been gigging? What have you been doing?
I had a show on Sunday up in Brixton. It was, you know, Art Tangent. We spoke about Art Tangent before, the sort of mathy, proggy festival that happens in Bristol in August. They were putting on a sort of pre-show at the Windmill in Brixton. So it's just a few bands from this year's Art Tangent lineup. So we were playing on that, which was quite nice. We got second to headlining slot, which is quite good. Talons to headline. But there were some... Matt came along, actually. Matt was there.
I did.
Oh, yeah.
It was very, very good. I must admit, and I know you boys aren't into math, but Joe's bass tone was absolutely on point. That Ashdown rig sounds incredible.
Thanks, man.
Did you take both cabs?
I only used one, actually, just because it was an all-day festival and I knew that there were... that mine wasn't going to be the bass rig for the entire thing, so it was going to have to come on and off. I was just concerned about the amount of time we'd have.
You did and backline changes.
Sorry? Yeah, because most normal bands do. It's just punk gigs where you don't do backline changes.
How many bands were playing?
I don't know, seven, eight, something
seven,
like that.
Eight,
well,
seven,
you all did backline changes.
Everyone bought backline with them?
Everyone bought guitar amps with them. There actually weren't that many bass players, as it happened, but... So they were sort of coming on and off.
A nightmare.
Yeah, no, it was all right. But I, you know, as I expected, I think we were 40 minutes late, sort of on. So the sound guy was
because
like,
too many background checks.
So you had to cut one song then.
We did, yeah, we did cut a song.
Cuts a straight 40 minutes out of the set.
Yeah, they wanted us to play for half an hour instead of 45, so we cut one song. Yeah, that is actually right. What happened. But no, that, it was really good. There were some great bands. Alma were there. Matt, you didn't turn up quite in time to see Alma, but Alma, Pete Lambrew from Alma is one of the fellas that we've interviewed at the Cato Studio things that me and Matt did with Boss.
Pedalboard Showcase, I believe we called those on the YouTube channel.
Yeah, well, Pete Lambrew was one of those. Definitely worth checking out his board if listeners and viewers, you want to check out some ridiculous boards. He uses two pedal boards because he plays in a three-piece, but the three-piece consists of someone on Ableton, a piano player, and him playing guitar, but he also has like a bass board and a guitar board, and it's ambient stuff, and he also like loops all his vocals through a big RC300. It's really awesome and incredible stuff. So his set was brilliant. And yeah, there were a few other great bands. Talons were playing, two violins, as well as a full sort of...
what is your music?
Two guitars, bass and drums. So they're very good.
Were the violin players using any effects?
Actually, no. They drive a little bit, but that could just be because the venue's sound system wasn't there.
Right.
But they were very good. Matt, what did you think that was good that was there?
Well, actually, I mean, yeah, I actually thought you were the best there, Joe, and I'm not just saying that. I do really enjoy Joe's band.
I wasn't even fishing then.
Talons were pretty good though. They were a kind of a mixture between, I don't know, they did remind me a lot of like the more recent Godspeed record. I don't know if you've heard that, Jay, the recent Godspeed You Black Emperor record. So quite heavy, great, good bass sound. He was using Reverend basses, and the other guy was using Reverend guitars.
Did I mention it last, or were we talking about it, Matt?
We were talking about it in real life, not here.
That doesn't exist.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not friends with you outside this room.
But Reverend have...
Ooh, excuse me. Easy now. Oh, you're right there.
Yeah, yeah.
A little bit of Windy Pops.
Yeah, that's Stella Artois right there. Reverend have really jumped on sort of the whole math band scene, and everyone seems to be getting endorsed by them at the moment.
I think on every scene, Reverend is really? Just all over the place. Yeah,
they're great. Yeah. I think what a company for making inroads. I just wish they did a bass that didn't look crap. But as soon as they figure out that all bass players don't want eight pole humbuckers.
That's what's stopping you getting that endorsement, isn't it?
they don't do any basses though. Yeah.
Who would endorse that face? Unbelievable.
There it is. So that was my week. So
okay.
That was a great gig with the most ridiculous amount of pedal boards there and effects. And of course, that's why we were 40 minutes late, because with many pedals and effects also comes many...
Great responsibility.
Many problems with wiring and delays to set starting.
Were there any problems with your wiring, or was this other bands?
Oh, actually, there was a little problem, wasn't there, Matt? You might have noticed about a couple of songs in, our guitarist hit his new, actually, he'd changed from using, he has an ABY box to switch between his two amplifiers, and he's until recently has used an Electro Harmonix Switchblade Plus.
Okay.
And recently changed to a radial one because he wanted something that was a bit better built. And it's certainly better built. It doesn't have any lights because it is completely passive, which is to sort of stop the clicking sound that you get from them, which is a great idea. The problem is it's quite hard to tell, but for whatever reason, he switched his second amp on halfway through. Bear in mind, he'd pressed it a number of times during the set, and all of a sudden, the amp came through like a lot louder. So obviously, there was some wiring issue that had made the amp sound quieter before that somehow resolved itself. So we tested it the next night, and we've retired that box. And actually, today, me and him were choosing between Fender do an ABY, which is also the exact same thing. Morley do the same, exactly the same pedal.
The cool switch.
Yeah,
it's just called the ABY.
Oh. The same as Fender's ABY. It is the same. It comes in the same packaging. It is the same. Every button, every power insert is the same. It looks identical. One says Fender, one says Morley. So choosing between those, they look pretty sturdy. Or spending the big bucks and going for an orange
Amp Detonator.
Amp Detonator.
See, if it was me, I'd contact good old James at Bright Onion Pedals, just down the road from you, and get him to build something for you, because he does some fantastic things.
Yeah, that's actually a much better idea. I always completely forget about Bright Onion.
And he will build you anything. If you can dream it, he will build it.
He will build it.
I've done several times, and every time they come out absolutely amazing and ridiculously cheap price as well. He made me some switching boxes that are so complicated, it's not even worth me trying to explain them on here.
He makes your pedal board dreams come true. I've seen some of his creations on your board, and I have absolutely no idea how they work.
Yeah, they're just empty.
Right, just for show.
Just for show.
Right.
You know. But he would be the person to contact as well, because a lot of those other ones don't have phase inversion and ground lift, which if you're using both amps at the same time, if you don't have those, can cause some problems.
Yeah. The orange one does have a phase inversion,
but isn't it massive? That's the only problem. Isn't the box like?
It's quite large. Yes, that is the negative. It's also £119, which I know isn't expensive for. An effect pedal.
Yeah.
But for an ABY, bear in mind the Fender one, which is probably next down in quality, is £30. You know, the radial was £45.
About the ART cool switch?
That's the cool switch.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Matt, what's your verdict on the cool switch? Because that was always my go-to when people ask for an ABY.
Yeah, I mean, cheap and cheerful, I think, great. But once again, doesn't have the phase lifting ground. So if you're going to run Y, as in two amps at the same time, not great. But for a cheap solution, actually, it's probably the best one and one of the smallest as well.
Yeah.
Radial Wood just brought out a new one that has got a light on it, I believe.
Oh, really?
I'm almost certain. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, that came out a couple of weeks ago.
No, the one we covered maybe a month or so ago that has like four outputs.
Yeah.
Do you remember? I think or eight. I think you can run four amps in stereo, or maybe it's two amps in stereo.
But yeah, like a week ago or a couple of weeks ago, they announced something else, which I think is like an upgraded version of what you've got already.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
What I always like about the cool switch, like Matt says, it's cheap and cheerful, but it will run active or passive. So if you put a battery in there, it will have lights. A battery, or you can power
it. Yeah, you can power
9 volt. So
yeah, that's quite good.
I think
lights are an essential, definitely.
Yeah, it's just on cheap boxes, it's hard to put that in without getting like that click, like you say. So, so that was your weekend. Loads of
absolutely.
Gigging and stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that you're ready to do a podcast?
I'm podcast ready. I'm podcast ready because I'm really enjoying the new segments that we're introducing.
We dragged you kicking and screaming out of your bed to come and do this.
Well, I did really want to stay at home watching Stranger Things, but
you don't know anything. You're on episode 3, you know nothing.
No spoilers.
Got another 5 to go. Oh, man. Gets dark.
I just can't believe Winona Ryder gets killed off at the end of
the first episode. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And then comes back as a dinosaur.
Yeah,
it's really weird. What have I been up to this week?
Have you been up to this week?
Took delivery of some barefoot buttons on the way home today. By the post office and got them. I think we're giving them away as a competition prize.
I'm still not convinced by this concept.
So,
explain what they are.
So, for people that don't know, Barefoot Buttons are a company that make essentially little kind of caps that sit on top and screw onto your effects pedal on and off switches.
Rubber nibs.
They're not rubber, they're metal.
What?
Yep, but they're just wider. So, essentially, what it means is if, like me, you know, your pedal board doesn't go out of the house because, you know, I'm a bass player, don't use any pedals because you shouldn't use pedals on bass. But I've got a guitar pedal at home. It's not often that I'm playing guitar and I've got my shoes on. So treading on those on-off switches on pedals can hurt your little feet.
I'm with you 100%. It's always been something that's like made me feel really uncomfortable.
You have to kind of like position your big toe.
Yeah, directly on it. And
this is if you don't own Boss pedals, of course.
Oh, of course.
But it's always made me like feel like just the idea of
a foot pushing right down on one of those really hard electro-harmonic switches.
God, I hate it because when I've used pedals and stuff in the past live, I always stamp on them really hard.
Yeah.
And just the thought of doing that without wearing shoes makes me feel really, really
nasty.
Queasy.
I am. There's a quite old school sort of math post-rock band called Upsy Downsy. Yeah. You've heard of them? Yeah, yeah, their name is actually longer because
it's the Konami code.
Yeah, 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 that's right, yeah. But Upsy Downsy for abbreviation. Their bass player doesn't wear socks or shoes. Well, I guess if you're not wearing... Yeah, he doesn't wear shoes or socks. That way.
Okay.
And yeah, once at a show, I watched him sort of really pummel his foot into a Line 6 DL4 on the floor, and afterwards was showing me this sort of bloodied imprint on the underside of his foot.
I can't handle it.
So, he was saying that it virtually stuck on, like he had to pull his foot off.
So ow. Basically, barefoot buttons would be the ideal solution for him. They're a little disc, essentially, that slots over the top of just a regular effects pedal switch. They do two types, one for a kind of locking switch and one for that kind of non-latching switch, that basically gives you a wider surface area, and it's got two Allen keys on either side, and you kind of pop that onto the pedal switch, and it means that you can play guitar in your socks or sockless.
It's actually quite a nice idea, even without the whole shoes off thing.
Indeed, loads of different colours to match your pedals.
Really?
yeah, you can get them. There's a nice
how
purple
much are they?
One. I don't know. Have a look at their website.
I think it's
barefootbuttons.com.
I don't think they're very expensive.
No, yeah. I don't think they're hugely expensive. But they will do also, apparently, they'll do laser etching as well. So if you want to get your band's logo or your particular thing. We could get some Guitar Nerds ones, for example. Mm. You can get it laser etched onto each of these, and all of your pedals can have your logo on, which is pretty neat. So yeah, I've got those. I'm going to test them out and take some photos and stuff and do a review for the site guitarnerds.net, and then we'll give them away in the Facebook group, I think. And I haven't decided whether we'll give them all away to one person
whether you get to keep a couple.
I won't do that. And what I was thinking is more we can spread the love and everyone can have one.
Right.
But, well, not everyone can have one. We've got 3,000 people in the Facebook group. Yeah, maybe we should just give them away as a set. That makes more sense, doesn't it?
I mean, I guess it kind of depends on how many.
I mean, for ease of packaging.
How many have we got? How many Patreon subscribers have we
like
got?
Like eight? We've got more Patreon subscribers than that, but we've got like eight buttons.
Right.
But yeah.
So that's only enough to do
eight pedals.
Or two flashback fours.
That's true. That is true. Why would you have two flashback fours?
For
why
double
not?
Delay.
Double delay?
Delay.
What is double quadruple delay?
It's double quadruple delay. Anyway, double. So, yeah, barefoot
buttons.
You can
only have two on at once, though.
Double delay. Quadruple delay, then.
No, triple. The triple lets you have three on.
Right.
I don't know what's going on now. So, yeah, that's what I've been doing this week, basically. I just literally got those on the way home, and that's kind of the only guitar-related thing. Oh, what? I say that. I've been thinking about what we can do with the purple Strat, the pink Strat.
Yeah.
I think we're going to do a video series called, that I'm going to call Mod Mode, where we basically put it out there. We do one video a month with this guitar, and we say put it out on YouTube and say, okay, this month we're talking about pickups. Which pickups should we put in this? Vote in the comments below. Then in that month, we get the pickups, we do the thing, then we do an updated video of the guitar and we say, okay, right, we're going to do the tuners this week, this month. Then we do that. I think it'd be cool.
I was thinking about ideas.
Okay.
I think that's a great idea, by the way, Mod Mode. I think we should... It was Mod Mode, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Mod Mode.
We should definitely do that.
Mod Mode.
I'm really
mod
up for mode. These like little video things.
Mod Mode.
I'm up for these little video things, but I thought of a new idea the other day. I don't know if it's new. We might have spoken about it before. In fact, we definitely did, now that I think about it.
Okay.
I think we should all each buy a guitar for £50...
Okay.
And have a fortnight to mod it individually, the most amount that each of us can, to make it a decent giggable guitar.
This is going to get really expensive.
No.
Or why don't you set a budget? You could do like a Top Gear style thing where we each get £200 and you've got to try and make the best
that's
possible
too much.
Guitar for
oh, that's
£200.
Too much. 100. It has to be 100 each.
I think you could
probably do it for £100.
We 100 each. You've got to buy a guitar and mod it, and at the end of it, we'll let all the Facebook people decide on who's made the best guitar.
Okay.
How long
are we going to have?
A fortnight. I think a fortnight.
48 hours.
I think we should do it live. 48 hours. we each like...
No, because some of us will pay for teching and stuff like that. Some will pay to take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
48 hours.
No, I think we should have 2 weeks or a month, because we're doing, when we do these video things, it tends to be that we do them in monthly cycles.
Yeah, so okay.
I think mod mode we should definitely do.
Let's do that first.
Mod mode.
I really want to do this. If people are interested in this idea, let us know on the Facebook, because
we've got some Patreon money we could spend on this. There's some budget for this. Yeah, I'm up for it.
Yeah.
I'm up for it.
Yeah, brilliant.
EMGs.
That'd be great.
I'm just saying. EMGs.
You're gonna spend all of your budget,
your entire budget on EMGs.
EMGs and a tweak from outside. You're just gonna make a gent.
No,
stick.
I'm gonna make a charity shop stick. I'm gonna go to the charity shop down the road that've got a Squire Affinity in the window for £105.
Yeah, that's over,
you know,
your
knock them down. You know, bargain a bit. Get £99.
Bargain in the charity shop, or maybe rather than bargain in the charity shop, can you take something down in exchange for credit? I think it should be £100.
That's not how charity shops work.
I think it should be £100 or, like, I don't know. But, like, an exchange, but that sounds a bit dodgy.
Yeah.
Bartering.
Exchange of services.
Bartering or, like, yeah, I don't know.
Okay, I'm up for this. We will do
so
that.
So what? Is it
going to
be £100?
Yeah, in total. Everything. So for everything.
In
so you've got £100, you've got to buy it and mod it.
Okay.
Like, and you can't set it up.
Yeah.
You've got to mod it yourself, Jay. So buy that soldering iron.
Because then we'll get in a third party. We'll get someone like Dan Grace to demo all four of the guitars.
Yeah.
And we'll show our Facebook audience that, and they can decide.
£100 is not very much money.
No, that's why it's good.
That's why it's good.
Because
it's going to rely on our skill and ability.
I don't
not
have
our
any skill, and I don't have any ability.
You're not going
to
win.
Yes,
then.
You do. You've got the gift of the gab. That's why you're going to be able to buy something cheap by talking someone into selling you something cheap. Then you're going to be able to get cheap work done off of a tech. It's going to be great.
I'm going to do all the work myself, I think.
Me too. Mine's all going to be about the finish.
That's why I need to go EMGs, solderless.
Yeah.
Easy setup.
Yeah. Yeah. So okay, well, that's the plan then. Let's do let's get the pink straight out of the way first. Mod mode. Then what we could probably do is, why don't we do them as a video diary series?
Yeah.
What are we going to call the series?
I've got a great idea for what this should be called.
What?
I don't think it exists yet. We should call it mod mode. I can't even keep it. I'm sorry. We should call it mod mode.
Mod mode.
Wait, can we take that? Can we cut and start again?
No, we can't. We could call it.
We should call it mod mode.
What's wrong with mod mode?
I don't know. Just
mod mode.
Mod mode.
Yeah, we could call it mod mode challenge or something. Let's just call it Top Gear.
No, it's not call it that.
Top Gear, I don't think we'd be able to get
Super Guitar. Super Guitar. I don't know.
If anybody's got any ideas of what we should call this.
Fun for a ton.
This is probably the first. That's it.
Fun for a ton wins. Okay.
If anybody's got a better idea, because that is quite good. So, but it does sound like something that someone who, well, I was going to say, sits around a glass table would come up with,
but that's literally what we're doing. Sounds like the final round of Bullseye.
All right, here we go. Fun for a ton.
Yeah, exactly. Will you win fun for a ton? Anyway, we did say, Matt, you got some big news.
Oh, yeah, we haven't even done that
we've
yet.
Not even done
sorry.
We've got to do news yet.
Yeah,
well,
we've got a new news, but maybe we could save that for last week. For last week? We'll save it for last
week.
We'll
save it for in the past.
Save it for last week. Matt Knight.
Yeah, how detailed should I go? Should I give it all away?
Yeah, all the veins.
What I'm doing.
Yeah, I mean,
what
just,
I'm seeing.
Just say, so the times they are a-changing.
The times they are a-changing. I am making a big decision to step out of retail.
Boo.
And a few of our sort of Facebook group people and podcast listeners have queried the fact that a position that they know I currently hold has been advertised, and I'm leaving. I'm going to work possibly in my dream job. Instagram. I really should turn that off.
You're going to work for Instagram.
I'm going to work for Instagram. No, I'm going to work for Roland Europe as one of their product managers for Boss.
Which means, boys and girls, we can probably tell Matt what pedals we think should be made.
Yeah,
Matt will get them made. which and sent to us.
Which I suppose we should say that, you know, when I went for the job, I made it very important that Guitar Nerds was very important to me, and the people that I'm working with know all the Guitar Nerds people, and they really enjoy the podcast, and they are happy for me to, you know, talk about other things. So well, I think it's very important to say that we're not going to be...
There's not going to be any biases there. But the reason that they're happy with you carrying on doing this is because this we're the reason that a bunch of these recent products have come out.
I'm not sure that's true.
I think it's definitely true. How many times did we talk about they should do an RC1?
Although every time I hook up with the boys from Boss, I tell them they should be doing a retro-styled bass amp series, and that still hasn't happened.
I mean... Well, we'll you see. Can say you can we'll take all these ideas. In the face, mate. You know.
So as well as being getting a new job there, you've also got a new job on Guitar Nerds, which is senior Roland and Boss reporter. And yeah. you can't talk about anything else.
Does this mean we can get embargoed news on the podcast ahead of?
We can't get embargoed news on the podcast.
No, we can't get embargoed news because it's embargoed. But it does mean
this is unless does, I say it on the podcast. And
it,
then get in
it does mean
the next
that we
week.
Might be able to get. Things for review, maybe. I don't know. I can't say.
Whoa, he's
I
haven't promises. Actually
started.
He
hasn't even started yet.
We'll see. Maybe I'll just get to take it all home.
I think the important thing to remember is that none of us are supportive of what any of the other one does, and so the fact
not
that
all.
Matt is going to be working for this company, who we tend to talk about a little bit anyway, means that the rest of us are just going to start being really hypercritical about everything.
Yeah, oh, so totally.
I'm going to defend myself.
We don't want anybody to think that anything's going to change in that.
And
instance.
I will. I did want to. I think when we discussed it, you know, I wanted to be make it. Clear that we didn't want to we,
there'll be no
we didn't
conflict
want to be biased about anything I start that on Monday.
Amazing.
So,
exciting times.
Bye bye retail, that's 10 years for me. Tis gone, and it's been fun. There's been smiles, there's been tears, and now I'm leaving.
It was the best of times.
It was the blurst of term.
Blurst of term.
Oh dear.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, so that was the big news. Matt is you're going off to Roland and or Boss. And we just wanted to make it clear that, you know, we're still going to be as impartial as we kind of always are, and more so now that Matt works there, I think we're actually going to be way more critical about Boss
100%
because it's fun
just
to it's fun to tease. So.
Gear of the year
and every product is Boss.
Well, yeah, I mean, thankfully, I guess we've got, like, you know, we've got form there because,
won 2 years in a row.
ESA won last year. Year before was the...
Yeah, Strymon.
Was the...
Strymon.
Yeah, which one? The Deco.
Deco.
And
wait, you've got some Roland headphones on. It started already. They've
what
infiltrated the podcast.
Oh, no.
Anyway, should we do some news?
Yeah.
News. Apparition.
That was weird. So first up, it's not really any official news, but just something that I think people should check out on the internet. Fender have made Matt Skiba a
copy of Mark Hoppus.
Yeah. So Matt Skiba has been playing a kind of bright pink.
It's lipstick pink is the official
colour.
Is
it okay? Lipstick pink Jaguar?
It's a Jaguar,
isn't it?
No, it's just
single humbucker.
Yeah, but it's Jaguar scale. Yeah. Skiba plays Jaguar scale.
So interesting that he's kind of gone in for that. I think he's been playing Fender stuff for a little while, and it looks like this isn't a signature model for the moment, but
it's kind of a Blink signature model, isn't it?
Well, cool, basically.
It's really cool. It's pretty much the same as what DeLong was playing, I guess, when he was a Fender endorsing.
Yeah.
But, was it?
But he had a Strat. So DeLong had a Strat.
With a super distortion.
No, it was
Simon
a
Duncan Invader.
Invader.
Interestingly,
sorry.
Though.
But just like similar, as in that it's a bright coloured single pickup Fender sort of thing.
Do you know what pickup's in this one?
No, I don't actually.
An EMG 57.
Oh, with a chrome cover.
Which
on
is
it.
Really? An EMG, nice. I believe, Active. Is that right, May?
That is Active.
It's an Active pickup that looks like a, you know, PAF humbucker.
That's cool.
Choice.
I like that. The idea of that. Like, if you're gonna play something that you know sounds crap, at least make it look good. That's good. Well
thing
done.
The thing is, actually, EMG. Though, I don't think EMG sound that far off something like an Invader because they're super tight, compressed. really loud. So there's probably not that much difference.
No, it's really cool. I'm really into this guitar. I think it's a great looking guitar. I think Fender will sell them by the truckload
if they come out. That's
if
the
they
big
come
thing.
Out. Yeah, of course. If they come Which, out,
I just want a guitar in that color.
I've always thought it was weird that the Mark Hoppus came out as a Fender at all, as like a £650 Fender. And sort of the DeLonge did the same. Like, I thought when DeLonge moved to Gibson, they made a smarter choice in that they released a £350 Epiphone.
Well, that came a lot later. Like,
I know it did.
Because the Gibson 33, it was the ES333.
Yeah.
That came out and they were so popular and they went immediately.
Yeah.
Mm. And then they just discontinued them. And it was only after, like, maybe three.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/ACAST.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
3 years of bickering and badgering from everyone that the Epiphone version came out.
Oh, really?
It was a long gap.
Were Blink even together when that came out?
I don't think
probably
so.
Not
when
because
the second, when the Epiphone.
He started playing it on the last record before they had their first split, which would have been 2003.
Right.
So,
really? Wow.
And then they were split up until, what, 2007, 2008, something like that.
Yeah. So
maybe then.
Interestingly, maybe. Looking into it, not the first Matt Skiba signature model.
Is it not?
No.
He's got an acoustic.
Oh, he's got that awful acoustic.
He has.
The one with the little heart.
Yeah, from the the Alkaline Trio symbol, isn't it? That's one of them, yeah. That kind of heart with the downward arrow. But also, he had a guitar before that, a GPC Matt Skiba signature.
What's GPC?
The Giorgini Precision Craft. It's a guy called Mass Giorgini, who is from
Squirt Gun?
He was in the band Squirt Gun, but also Sonic Iguana Studios, which was one of the iconic pop punk recording studios. Did loads of the Screech and Weasel stuff, Mr. T Experience, Bouncing Souls, maybe at some point. And he started a guitar company called GPC, who made primarily Mosrite copies.
Oh,
The Ben Weasel signature Weasel Wright guitar, but also did some signature models for Alkaline Trio. There was a Dan Adriano bass. There was also a Jesse Michaels Les Paul from
was there?
Yeah, from Operation Ivy and his other band that I've forgotten.
Common Rider.
Classics
of Love.
Indeed.
Also.
A Matt Skiba signature, which was basically this guitar. It was a single pickup, single humbucker, Jazzmaster style. They are super rare. Like, try and get hold of any GPC stuff.
Because what colour was it?
Black with a
black scratch.
No, with a red, tortoiseshell. Oh,
okay.
Well, not tortoiseshell, but you know, you get that perloid. Sorry, that's what I mean. Red perloid scratch plate. But yeah, it didn't look great.
Red perloid. Red tortoiseshell is
first
great.
Proper guitar I ever had. Was black with a red perloid plate.
Like the Pete Wentz.
Yeah, it did look like the Pete Wentz, indeed. So yeah, new Matt Skiba guitar maybe coming down the pipe.
I really hope they do it, and I really wouldn't be surprised if they did because they
Fender, do it as a Squire.
Well, I mean, that would be cool. But the thing is that Fender do appear to be, you know, they've got that history of doing a lot of, like, pop punk signature models.
Yeah.
And also, they seem to be finally listening to people in that they're making a broader range of offset guitars. And, you know, we've seen, in terms of signature models come out, you know, there's been the Jim Root, the Jim Root Jazzmaster, the Jay Maskis Jazzmaster, the Johnny Marr Jag.
Yeah.
Wasn't there another Jaguar? I think, I can't remember offhand. But, you know...
But even reintroducing things like the Bass 6.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
And the introduction of the... that bass, short scale.
Yeah.
Three lipsticks.
Yes.
Rascal.
The Rascal bass.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, it makes sense that they would do it. I've just been corrected on the Amplify chat here by Garvzify. It's a Jazzmaster. It's not a Jaguar.
Okay.
Full scale. The Skiba. Yeah, I guess
full
so.
Is it?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if they did a lipstick pink Squire with either like an EMG or one of those kind of passive EMG cheaper versions, that would sell very well indeed. So, let's do one more bit of news, I think, and then we'll move on to Brand of the Week because we are deep into the podcast already.
Yeah.
So, one that I wanted to chat about was the Italia Geoffrey Foskett signature model.
I don't know who Geoffrey Foskett is.
Apparently, he's in the Beach Boys.
Indeed.
Matt, have you got some details? Because I put a story up on the Guitar Nerd site, but I've completely forgotten. It's got some really unique features, and if you've got them there, you could fill us in.
I have. I've got a little bit of a spec rundown. So, classic sort of Italia design in a wicked, like, Lake Placid blue?
Yeah, but it's like sparkle, isn't it?
Yeah, it's more like a blue. I don't know. It's kind of the colour of Lake Placid blue, but it's probably got like a thicker flake to it.
Yeah.
12 string kind of crazy headstocks, like six in a line and then another six in a line that's sort of face back.
They do that.
It's like half cello headstock, isn't it?
Yeah. And then there's kind of like some weird guitar features in terms of pickup. So
it's double
input. You've got independent on-off switches for each pickup. So it's like two humbuckers, master volume, master tone, and then you've got a blend control for each pickup as well.
Yep.
So you can kind of mix them in so there's no like pickup selector. And then, yeah, there's also, bizarrely enough, an LED located under the pickups to make it clear which one is on. Very weird.
That's
loads
cool.
Of switches, loads of kind of cool features.
Two inputs.
And it's older and ash, so it's not some of the cheaper Italias are like the kind of resin, aren't they? They're sort of like a fiberglass style.
Yeah, they're like
body.
Plastic, basically.
Yeah. So this one's like sort of solid wood, rosewood fretboard, 25-inch scale length, semi-hollow. Yeah, cool guitar. Don't know if it's available in the UK yet. It just seems to be on the Italia website.
It is definitely coming into the UK.
Yeah, they're like $1,300. So
one of the weirdest things is that massive plate that it's got that seems to just have his signature on it.
I think that's kind of cool.
Positioned just below the...
I'm sort of into it.
But it's in a weird place. It's almost like, where should we put
it? It's like a little scratch plate, really, almost.
Yeah, almost. But
so, Matt, one thing you didn't point out there is that it's got FOSQ... which is an enhancer switch.
It's based, I think, on... There's a particular compressor called the Jangle Box.
Yeah.
Which was made famous by the guy, forget his name, who played in The Byrds. And I think he designed it. It's like a 60s compressor that's...
Roger McGuinn?
Was designed. Yeah, I think it was him. He played a 12-string Rickenbacker, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And it was designed for him. He was using a 12-string with a Vox AC30, and it was designed to give, like, basically maximum jangle for kind of that sort of classic sort of 60s sort of, like, pop sound. And I think this has got the same circuit built into it, or a very similar styled circuit for kind of, effectively, that 60s Beach Boys kind of real bright jangle 12-string sound.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it looks super cool. The colour's really good and it's really unique. And if you're a fan of that like you say, like the Beach Boys or the Birds, you know, that real jangly 60s tone. This
or if
is
you want
cool
a cheap alternative to Rickenbacker. Yeah. I mean, I've seen those Roger McGuinn Rickenbackers. I saw one second hand. They go for like £4,000 or £5,000 second hand.
It's bananas, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, this is, like you say, a real good cheap option to that, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe Branton, I'd say you've got maybe 5 to 10 minutes.
So I've got to keep this short. Did it go on a little bit last week?
Brand of the week? No, but we've talked about a lot of stuff and we did say that we'd fit in some questions this week. Okay. So
so we'll keep.
Last week you promised to tell us about
one of two things.
Do the jingle.
Okay.
The jingle?
Yeah.
It's a jingle. Yeah, okay, good.
Brand of the week. That face. Horrible.
No, it's good. It's a solid face.
Talk about Stranger Things.
So last week on Brand of the Week, I gave listeners and viewers the choice between two brands, and I said that I'd put like a little voting thing up.
You
on
didn't
the
do
Facebook.
That.
I didn't do that. No, no. So basically, I made the decision for you. I was choosing between popular '80s brand
True Democracy
Hohner and not so popular, virtually unknown underdog Dynalectro. And I have opted to tell you all about Dynalectro, seeing as I'm on a bit of a 60s roll at the moment. Because what have I done so far?
You did Goya.
Yeah. And before that, I did Airline. So I've I've been keeping up this. Like,
wasn't the first one we did Hofner as
Hagstrom.
Well? No. Oh, Hagstrom. Yeah, Hagstrom, it was. Yeah, the Viking, I remember.
So I have kind of quite consistently looked at little 60s brands that have gone under. And I guess in every other case other than this, have had... Well, actually, no, I guess Goya also. It's sort of, we're just like 60s brands that have disappeared into nothingness. Dynalectro. Very interesting band, a name that you will only hear very, very occasionally. And I'm not saying Dan Electro in a weird way. I mean Dynalectro. D-Y-N Electro. A really weird brand that turned up in the 60s. They were an Italian brand. And they were only made for a short period, really had their heyday sort of in the early and mid-60s. Although, believe it or not, like... I did all that research, found that out, and then later I found the company who make Dynalectro. Dynalectro did actually appear randomly in one of their mid-70s price lists as well.
Okay.
But I can't find any examples of instruments from that time. So I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, the company, the Italian company, was called Miazzi. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Miazzi.
Let's say Miazzi, yeah. Like mozzarella, I guess, isn't it? Yeah, Miazzi.
Yeah,
double Z. Miazzi were they were very different from the other companies coming out of Italy at the time. Italy in the 60s was kind of a bit of an epicenter for instrument builds. We certainly had Echo rather the I always say Echo.
Yeah.
It's very annoying. Echo so it came out of Italy around that time. And Italy were doing very well for sort of making interesting, weird guitars and amplifiers. Miazzi differed from these companies a fair bit because they were actually a manufacturing giant. Certainly, if you ask an Italian person, if you mention the name Miazzi, they won't immediately
think
guitars.
They'll say, no, you're saying it wrong.
They'll say, yeah, they'll probably say that, but they'll
is that
also
like double Z, like mozzarella,
but yeah. Miazzi,
right? Okay.
You mean Miazzi, mate? It's, yeah.
Isn't he the geezer in Karate Kid?
Mr. Miazzi.
Yeah.
But people, Italian people would, if you would say the brand name, they would think batteries, because Miazzi were actually the Duracell of Italy.
Okay.
So amongst other things, they also made clocks, and so they were very much an entrepreneurial company. Yes, sorry. But anyway, that aside, so they made Dynalectro. Dynalectro actually started life... They were made out of Sicily. They moved to Germany at some point, but again, this was such a small company that even that I can't find any information on when they moved to Germany or why. Just that they had done at some point. I only found that out in a couple of blogs that I read that I can only read in Italian and translate and then try and work out what on earth is being said because the translations are weird. But anyway, the company Dynalectro actually started. Life being called Framez,
okay,
which obviously we
Framus,
a Framus copycat company, but switched to Dynalectro when they introduced the Longhorn model,
okay,
which they did as a bass, a fretless bass, and a guitar.
Sounds very similar to the Danelectro Longhorn.
Exactly. But here's the thing with Danelectro, and that's what, exactly what Miyazaki did with the Framers models, was these weren't budget replications. These were great quality. So they introduced with Danelectro, they had a standard range and they had a deluxe model in the one guitar shape that they made. The standard range copied the Danelectro. It was made out of masonite. It was very simple. If anything, maybe slightly inferior, because it was quite basic on the sort of finishes and things like that. The deluxe model was really one, and the deluxe model is the one that I can find lots of examples of, because the deluxe model was it changed things, like it got rid of the naff little tuners, changed those for solid metal tuners. The bridge was more proper. They were bound bodies, beautifully painted sunbursts, and were all solid wood construction. So they were kind of a really high quality version of a Danelectro, and certainly that's what I've thought when I've come across them. They've always looked like good, reliable alternatives to what is quite a budget, cool looking, cool sounding, but dodgily built instrument. But yeah, that is the... I'll cut off some stuff so that we can keep it short. But yeah, there is so little information on Danelectro out there. You can find a lot of stuff on... I found some information on fetishguitars.com. They had some cool stuff on... Yeah, I know.
So that really sounds like combining... the site that combines your two interests in the most obvious way.
Which one of those things were you searching for when you stumbled across
this website? Yeah, this is how I learned about them. But they were they are really interesting, really cool-looking guitars.
Dynelectron.
No, it does.
Have you been saying it wrong the entire time?
Maybe. Let's see. What does it say?
I did a... I don't know if it was the same brand.
So this is Joe Branson's research. The brand that you've been talking about for the last 10 minutes.
Yes.
And
few weeks, and have done all this research on. The brand is actually called Dynelectron.
I didn't look at that.
I mean, there's
N
no
there.
Wonder you couldn't find any bloody information on it, you dingus. The only stuff you found was from idiots like you who were writing about a brand but spelling it incorrectly.
Okay, well, I really want to buy one of those Gibso Les Pauls, but I can't find any information on it.
Oh, God damn it. Well, you can't find anything on them anyway. You have to search for Miyazaki, so
okay.
I found them on there. Anyway, they are totally wicked in... I've ruined my own segment.
More of this every week.
Yeah, but anyway, check out Dynelectron, because they are really cool, really interesting guitars. And if you can find one, which there are a couple kicking around at the moment on somewhere, vintageguitars.com.
This is just guitars.blogspot.
Yeah, there was someone that was pointing out that there is one for sale at the moment, but I can't remember where. Anyway, they are super rare and they are well cool. So check out Dynelectron and learn some interesting stuff about a cool retro guitar company next week.
I was going to say, can I suggest a brand for next week?
Yeah, I think we should move off of the 60s.
Okay,
thing,
I was going to suggest the 60s one.
No, let's maybe keep it going.
Let's make this the last one.
Yeah, okay.
Wanderer. Right. French brand.
Oh.
Wandre.
Okay.
Wanderer.
Right, no, you sure there's not an N on the end?
Miss out the last letter. Because then Branton will do some research on it. If you miss out the last letter, Branton could do some research.
Wander.
Right, okay. Wander. That's what we'll do next week then. We'll find out some more information. Anyway, also, on that note, these Dynelectrons don't go for very much money, and they are incredible build quality.
That's because people keep putting them up on eBay, missing a letter at the end, so you can't find them.
God damn it.
Anyway, thanks for that, Joe Branton. That was really informative.
It was very informative. I mean, man. You know, apart from the obvious...
Apart from the obvious cock-ups.
really...
Another excellent brand of the week. If you've got brands to suggest, next week let's do Wanderer, because I suggested it. But either put it in the Amplify chat or go onto the Facebook group and suggest them for brand of the week. Shall we move on?
Brand of the Wii, as it's now called.
Brand of the Wii.
Oh, God, I'm never going to live this down.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Top notch.
Right, we did say we'd do some questions this week.
Questions.
Is there anything from the Amplify chat, Jay, that we need to cover? If not, we've got an abundance of Facebook questions.
There is, yeah. We've had a couple of questions come in, actually.
Okay.
And I don't, you know, unfortunately, they're both for Joe.
Oh, God.
We've had a couple. So, are you all right with jumping off with some base questions?
Let's do one question for Joe. That's all he's allowed.
One question for Joe. Okay, all right. This is quite interesting. Harry wants to know, I'm considering a custom Sandberg base. Mm-hmm. They're roughly £1,300. Can anyone think of a better base for that money?
Being able to have a custom build for that sort of money is incredibly good, and I do think that that Sandberg have some great options.
They're not exactly custom at that price, though, are they?
No. Well, if you're talking about the using the online custom shop builder,
I think at that price you don't get that, though. I think what you get, I mean, when you say a custom, it's like the, you know, the Fender American build experience, whatever they're calling it now, where, you know, it's a neck bolted onto a body. It's not like the guitar's being made specifically for you.
Oh, so it's, yeah. It's more like a Warmoth type thing.
No, because Warmoth essentially just sell you the parts. Yeah. It is much more like that Fender mod shop or whatever they call it. Mod mode. And yeah, so they're just, you know, you pick a body and then you pick a neck, and I think they've got like various bodies in different stages of aging, because they do right up to the hardcore relicking, which are like,
it's
really
cool. Their relicking isn't very good, though.
Oh no, I like it.
No,
I really like
it. You're wrong
on the real like high end
you're
of the relicking.
So
I really
wrong.
Like it.
No, you can't have a modern brand to relicking. I think it's something they should stay out of.
I like
it's
it.
ridiculous having satin necked guitars that have been relicked. It's like,
I like it.
That's not where they should look. Anyway, I actually really I'm not that into Sandbags. Having seen them up close, I don't think the quality lives up to the price point.
As a counterpoint to that, I really like Sandberg. I think the build is phenomenal for the money.
Well, you can buy a Fender and actually get the real thing rather than an imitation of it.
Yes, but you're not getting that kind of, you know, that build, I don't think.
I guess the thing is that, you know, if Fender... it's like we were literally just saying with that Matt Skiba, like, they might not make that.
Yeah.
You might not be able to.
They do like
get that exact spec.
Well, for example, Sandberg do like really good kind of greens and things like that, and blues that you're just not going to get.
Oh, what a wonderful segue! Thank you for that.
Okay, fine.
Did you know that by the page? Obviously.
No,
was that a deliberate segue?
No, not at all.
Okay, so the alternative that I would like to suggest is Carvin guitars.
What?
Yes, Carvin guitars also offer a custom shop for about that price point. In fact, you can do it for less. Not only do they offer it for that price point, it actually really is a custom shop. So if you go, Carvin are part of Kiesel Guitars, so you can go onto their website on kieselguitars.com. That's K-I-E-S-E-L, and there is a builder, so you can select your body shape and you can build from there. And it will give you a price on the website. You can purchase on, in fact, you can even apply for finance. And actually, at the moment, they're doing a sale, which they're doing throughout the summer, which is pretty good. So it's something like $150 off the top of whatever.
They even do like jazz bass style.
Oh, yeah, they do a P bass as well.
Okay.
So, and you can have it.
I mean, that's not a P bass.
And they have something called Kiesel Green, which is why it's a segue. Also, check out this price.
Yeah, I mean, that is...
I am looking at a custom bright yellow matching headstock P-bass with active pickups, a maple neck with black block inlays. I mean, this could not be more interesting and original. Sale price, $799. That's
I mean, that's
build.
Really, really cheap.
That's
it's
amazing.
About £800 these days, isn't it?
Well,
and the rest. But yeah, they have some unbelievable options that are definitely worth checking out, especially at the moment whilst they're in sale. Yes, they're in America. It does mean that you're going to have to get them imported. It does mean the potential of an import tax. But I really think go and check it out. Build something on the builder, and see what you come up with. But they are really cool guitars.
Should we take a question from the Facebook group?
Let's do it.
Damien says, regarding backup guitars, if you only have budget for two guitars and you need a backup guitar for gigging, is it best to have a similar backup, pickup-wise, for continuity and volume and tone, or is it best to have something completely different for variety in recording and not worry too much about string breaking, etc., in a live situation? Matt Knight, what's your thoughts on this? You got the budget for two guitars, you're gigging and recording, do you get two of the same or two that are completely different?
Now, I think if you're recording, you should definitely have two different guitars, because if you're going to double track something, it's nice to have two different sounds to kind of track with. if you're playing live, I don't know because I haven't gigged for ages, so, and I never break strings. And actually, the last few times I play gigs, I never changed guitar either. So, probably not the best person to answer that one. But Joe, you were gigging when you gigged on Sunday. You had two basses. Were they for different tunings, or
they were
both
tunings,
jazz? Well, no, one was a P bass, one was a jazz bass.
One P and one jazz. I mean, that's not too different, is it? Really, I have always been of the mind you should have two things similar. But then I'm a person who plays in different tunings, so it's convenient for me to. Whilst it's a jazz and a precision bass, they aren't very different, and actually I don't use the bridge pickup on my jazz bass, so I basically play it as a P bass. I'd completely agree with you. Two are the same for live situations, because it's essential. But also that is something that I do, and I think is a cool avenue to go down, is experimenting with different tunings and being able to switch up live is really important. Actually, that I have a problem at the moment, because I put a quarter pounder in my P bass, the output's so much louder, and I've recently retired the GEB7 off of my board. It's actually really annoying to have to go over to my amp to sort of adjust volume.
It doesn't look very pro either, does it?
Like, no, it doesn't. Like, before, I could just, you know, I knew and take the GEB7 down a notch.
Yeah.
When I put the P bass on, and it was fine.
I'm not sure it doesn't look pro. I think it can look quite cool if you're like, oh, I'm just going to change my guitar. I'm changing guitar. I've obviously got to go and change something on my amp. You know,
I don't know.
It's annoying for speed, actually, more than anything. I'm on a limited time because it's on a loop.
Because you've got so many songs you've got to cram into the 45-minute set or whatever.
Four songs.
Unbelievable.
But the point is, yeah, for gigging, absolutely get to the same. It opens up avenues of tuning. But, yeah, definitely for recording, have something that's a million miles away from what your main guitar is. Also, that would just open up new avenues for you to look at stylistically in the way you play as well.
I think, it depends what your priority is, totally. And Damien actually kind of spells it out in the email already, kind of answers his own question that, yeah, for recording, two completely different guitars probably is best. You know, if you've got a Les Paul and a Tele backing it up, then that's a really nice kind of way of filling out the sound. But for live, yeah, you probably want something that's exactly the same or pretty close to it.
I like the risk element. Like the risk element of only ever taking one guitar, and then when I inevitably break a string, just asking to see what I can use.
See what these other bands playing.
Yeah,
I was about to say support bands, but
no, it's never support bands. Just be like, oh, is in it? Oh man, oh yeah, I've broken a string.
I just need to borrow the headliner's guitar, who's flown with it from the States.
Yeah, just has anyone so got a guitar I can borrow?
J Cross.
And I always break strings. I'm very heavy-handed.
We were playing with an American band recently, and they'd taken just the one guitar over, and they had exactly that problem, breaking a string. And, of course, we couldn't help them because our guitarist is left-handed. And not only left-handed, he strings upside down, which would make it more convenient.
Yeah.
But then he tunes in Fripp tuning, in fifths.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
So it runs from so his highest string is an 8. And its lowest string is a 54.
Rockers. Just awkward on purpose. Let's do one more question and we'll call it a night. Andy says, I'm torn between a Reverend BC1 and an Epiphone Brent Hinds V. The Reverend BC1 is probably the nicest guitar I've tried in years, sounded amazing and was super versatile. On the other hand, I've never owned a V, and the Brent Hinds Epi looks amazing. Can't seem to try one, though, as no one knows when they will be available in the UK. He put that in the email. Jay Cross.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really sure about this, because the Brett Hinds does kind of seem a little bit too good to be true.
Yeah.
Ebony board, comes with a case, I think.
Yes, it does.
Sensor pickups.
You know, that, like, it just seems way too good to be true.
Sure.
And maybe they're not going to include a body. Maybe that's where they're...
Yeah, you just get the neck, the lace sensor pickups.
Yeah, you get...
Yes, I think it's all American parts as well, I think.
I just don't know how they're doing it, like, for the money. But the other thing to that is, that because they're going to be so popular, they will probably... I don't know how limited they are, but I would suggest that they're probably going to sell as soon as they arrive into shops.
Or before.
Or before.
Yeah, basically... I mean, I'm assuming Joe's probably the same, but from experience, all the ones we've had come in so far have been sold, and basically everyone is just putting a deposit on them. So
yeah,
the chances of walking into a store and trying one is probably zero.
Yeah.
So I would recommend putting a deposit down. And to be honest, I'd imagine most stores would probably refund your deposit because it's not like they're not going to be able to sell it to someone else.
For sure. Yeah. That was always what we used to do. When I was working, I mean, I wouldn't refund your deposit. I wasn't that nice. But what I would do is allow you to move your deposit over onto something else.
Yeah.
And so if you know that you want to buy something, stick a deposit. Most stores will just like allow you to stick a deposit down on something. When it comes in, try it. If you're not into it, just be open. Like everybody who works in a guitar shop, generally, I mean, in my experience anyway, that everyone who works in a guitar shop is a guitar player and understands that sometimes you try something and it isn't as good as you wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And as long as you're cool with people, they will be cool with you.
Yeah.
And you know, just don't ask too much of anyone and you'll have a good experience.
But I was going to say, however, the Billy Corgan Reverend is one of the nicest guitars I've played in a very long time.
Oh, have you played one? I didn't know you played one.
Yeah, we've got them in my soon-to-be ex-store.
Amazing.
But I must say, the last kind of month that we've had Reverend in, I honestly don't know how they do it for the money. I think the best playing guitar you can get for £600 to £800, but hands down. Like, the necks feel really nice. They're really well constructed. Custom pickups, unlike anything else. They come in cool colours. Mm-hmm. I think his is like dual action truss rod, 22 frets, 12 inch radius board, so it feels really modern. Solid Carina body, signature pickups, string through. It's just like everything that you could want from a guitar as well. I think they're locking machine heads, so you've kind of got all the best features, and it comes in satin purple burst.
I mean, I'm 100% voting for that over the Brent Hines.
They have actually got the nicest neck. I've felt they're like really satin. They feel really nice, really modern. And the fact that they're kind of built in Korea, but then they're QC'd in America, I just don't think that a single bad one has come through on the wall yet. I think they're taking that extra step before anything kind of gets shipped out worldwide, and it really makes a difference.
Amazing.
Yeah, I think that either of those would be a sensible choice. I mean, I'm going for the old Billy Corgan. J Cross, we need to wrap this up, but it looks like you've got a comment.
I've just got one more super quick question from the Ampli.fi group, the chat page, and it says it will be a super quick answer. Joe, best value bass compression pedal.
Best value bass compression. The best value compression pedal out there is the Boss CS3. Because it's £60. If you specifically want bass compression, as in you want something that's multi-band, then I think it's a toss-up between the Boss bass compressor, the BCX1, I think it is, or BC1X. And the MXR bass compressor. The MXR is slightly more established because it's been around for longer. Both of them are great and have tons of controls on them that make it much easier to be able to tie everything in. That said, I think for sort of good old fashioned rock and roll compression, I think a CS3 is great.
Yeah,
I think they're great. Dynacomp is also really good.
Yeah,
is MXR. A little bit over squashy, but is dirt cheap as well. So there are a few options.
Cool. That was from Seb. Seb plays bass. And so what's that? The Boss CS3. That's the last time we ever talk about
the Boss CS3.
The Boss CS3. That's it.
Thanks for that, Joe. I'll give you a fiver later on.
No problem, mate. Cheers.
With that, I think we should wrap this up. It's worth mentioning that we are going to do carry on this chat over on the Patreon episode, which we do every week at patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $5 a month you can help support the podcast, and you get an extra half an hour of audio content every week. This week we are looking at how to sound like Gary Moore on a budget. Do you want that classic blues rock tone? You can get that and not spend mega money, and we will tell you exactly how to do it. patreon.com/guitar nerds. For $5, if you know if you're so kind and you want to pledge $10, you will get your name read out like this.
Ready?
Yep. Say their names properly this week.
Okay.
Because you've been bad the last
two
weeks.
No, I'll
these
be
people
fine.
Pay for this.
I know. I'm trying to do it right.
You're not going to do it right.
I am. Oh, my goodness. If you let me do it, I'll do it right. You ready? Angela Merkel, Tony Blair. I managed to get two politicians out of the top ones.
Very good.
All right. Steve Merkel, Blair Toms, Carlos Mancha. Mancha? Mancha. Carlos Mancha. Andrew Marco, Mark Ross, J.D. Short, David Carroll, Andy McKenzie, Brad Pitt, Paul Corrigan, Jack Godfrey, Jack Conroy, Will Clare, Scott O'Brien, Matt Gwine, Phil Thompson, Laurie Anstice, Moog, Gravett, Colin Anderson.
Say the one that you said as Brad Pitt again.
Brad Page.
There we go. Very good. And with that, we should wrap this up. Do join the Facebook group. If you listen to this, there's loads of good chat going on. It's been really lively recently, and loads of discussion, and we're kind of jumping in a bit more on stuff. So facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. If you want to catch this podcast recording live every week, Tuesday, 8:30 p.m. GMT time.
No, it's not GMT. GMT we had this conversation
one.
Earlier.
GMT plus one. You can go to amply.fi/guitar nerds, and you can watch all the previous streams either there on the YouTube channel, which is Guitar Nerds Videos. Follow us on Twitter at Guitar Nerds. Follow us on Instagram at Guitar Nerds. Follow us individually at Mark_Random, at Matt_Nicey, at JAYBN1, and at Joseph_900. One last bit of news. There's going to be some extra exclusive Patreon content going up this week. I'm going to be doing an interview, hopefully, with Mr. Brian Wampler from Wampler Pedals.
Super exciting.
That's going to be going up on the Patreon. So if you want to hear that, patreon.com/guitar nerds, join in the fun there, and you'll hear. We're going to be doing more of that. We don't, but now we're doing the live stream, we don't really have time to bring on guests and stuff to the main podcast. So Patreon is probably going to be the home for that. And if you are subscribing and helping us out on that, you'll get all of those interviews and stuff on there. So thanks very much, and we'll see you next week.
Cheers, gang.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Farewell.